those days. Just while the children wouldn't be going out, I forgot to look one up. I'd like to thank Pastor Carter Conlon of the Times Square Church and Tim DeLella, the new pastor there, for some of the talk here this morning that I'm reproducing. It's not all my own work of the Holy Spirit, but the Holy Spirit gave to them, and I'm using some of it this morning. So I'd like to give credit where credit is due. The title of this morning's talk is a little bit confusing, because I was going to put, "Are you sleeping with the enemy?" I had three titles, but the other one, "Gushing water doesn't lead to success," or "I settled on dangerous success, don't be fooled." Success in life or ministry is not always a confirmation or an endorsement from God. It may be a successful outcome is an act of God's kindness towards you, but not his blessing on you. To illustrate this, I want to highlight the story of Samson in the Bible. In Judges 16, verse 3, the Bible says, "But Samson lay there until the middle of the night. Then he got up and took hold of the doors of the city gate together with the two posts. He tore them loose, bar and all. He lifted those doors and their posts on his shoulder and carried them up to the top of the hill that faced Hebron." Gaza was one of the five major cities that the Philistines, and the city gate symbolized a city's strength. At that time, the gates of major cities were wide enough for chariots to drive through. They consisted of double doors made of wood to prevent entry by enemy and pivoted in stone socket. Samson carried not just the gate, but also the post, which amounted to total weight between 5 and 10 tons on his shoulders. And to add to this miraculous account, the Bible tells us he carried it to a location that could be up to 40 miles away. He took them up a hill. What is astounding to me is not just that he carried the doors 40 miles up a hill, but he got up in the middle of the night to do it. Let me read this to you from Judges 16:1. "One day, Samson went to Gaza, where he saw a prostitute. He went in to spend the night with her. He was getting up from a brothel bed. The miracle comes after what the Bible would classify as a sin of fornication, having slept with a prostitute." Some of you may be thinking, "What? But this is not what I'm saying. It's what the scriptures are saying this." This is how we know that success is not always God's confirmation or endorsement of your life or lifestyle. It may be an act of God's kindness towards you, but not his blessing on what you're doing. I'm cautious to say this, but this is something that we're observing in churches and ministries across our country. It is possible to experience success while still grappling with blatant sin. When you see God's blessing while you're living in compromise or sin, it is not necessarily God's approval. It is God's kindness. This should lead to repentance, not a continuation of your compromise. Listen to what the Apostle Paul says in Romans 2, verse 4. "Do not think lightly of the riches of his kindness, his tolerance, and his patience, not knowing that it's the kindness of God that leads to repentance." When God shows kindness to somebody living in compromise of sin, it is not an endorsement. It is God encouragement to get right with him. Paul continues in Romans 2, verse 5, because you are stubborn and refuse to turn from your sin, and because God is showing kindness, you're stoned up punishment for yourself. A day of anger is coming when righteous judgment will be revealed. You might believe that you can sleep with your boyfriend or girlfriend, come to church, and think everything is okay. You may think that because you don't feel anything bad happening, everything must be fine. But Paul warns us of the danger that a spirit of stubbornness can create for us. We see in the same lesson in the story of Samson. After Samson performed the miracle, the Bible says he loved a woman named Delilah. His first relation was purely driven by lust and compulsion. In his second relation, he genuinely fell in love with something that was wrong. This is where bondage lies. It's not just about falling. It's about falling in love with something destructive. Consider John 3:19. This is the judgment. Light has come into the world, but people love the darkness rather than the light because their deeds were evil. They just didn't do evil things. They loved darkness instead of light, fearing that the deeds would be exposed. But those who practice the truth come to the light so that their deeds can be revealed as having been done through God. The Message Bible translated this way. This is the crisis we're in. God's light has streamed into the world, but men and women everywhere ran into the darkness. They prefer darkness because they're not genuinely interested in pleasing God. In our ministries and pursuits, we sometimes become so enamored with success that we forget to examine our souls and our hearts. Think about Moses. After 40 years in the wilderness, he was barred from entering the promised land for a moment of disobedience, striking the rock when God had commanded him to speak to it. The miracle of water flowed from the rock, but Moses still suffered for his disobedience. This served as a powerful reminder to remain vigilant and aligned with God's word. Over the years, I've come to realize that when you see gushing water, you shouldn't quickly judge that God's blessing is immediately present. In our church, Maranatha, I pray, God, when the water flows, when you pour out your spirit in the servant, let these hands be obedient. Let our lives reflect your obedience. We cannot assume that we can live in sin and still expect God's blessing. Even when God is merciful and allow water to flow to his people, he's still calling us to repentance. We desperately need anointing, conviction and the Holy Spirit's power in the pulpit. Not just words. Anyone can preach word. We seek God's conviction and his spirit. The gushing water does not reflect the quality of leisure, but rather the goodness and kindness of God. If God is not present, it counts for nothing. Danger of success occurs when blessings manifest while we're living in disobedience. The Apostle Paul wrote, these things happened to them as example and were written down as warning for us on whom the culmination of the ages has come. So if you think you're standing firm, be careful that you don't fall. This serves as a warning from Paul that success can coexist with the disobedience for a season. There is an often overlooked word in our discussion today, holiness. Not a popular topic anymore. On the day of Pentecost in the New Testament, outsiders were amazed at the power of God that was poured out. Today, though, it seemed that we must be amused rather than amazed in the church. I found myself asking, what is holiness? First, holiness can be still understood as wholeness. It is when God seeks out every part of our lives, including our thoughts, our motives, and our agendas. He goes after everything. Every thought, action, and relationship falls under his lordship. Secondly, wholeness may be also lead to loneliness. Others might look at you if you're out of your mind, labeled holiness as legalism or something similar. In those moments, it is important to thank Jesus for reaching into every part of your life. However, I want to stress that holiness is also about usefulness. The greatest blessing comes when God can use a servant who is wholly committed to him. When you feel a conviction, address those small matters, because if left unchecked, they can grow into a much larger issue. Many people, including myself, might dismiss a sharp word they have spoken or a negative thought they have entertained. But God urges us to be mindful, even of the smallest transgressions. There is an old Puritan saying, "He that has slight thoughts of sin never has great thoughts about God." That is, when you don't treat those small convictions of the Holy Spirit with seriousness, it affects your view of God. Deal with your sin. David Wilkerson says the next verse in the story of Sam is probably the saddest verse in the Bible. When Delilah called to Samson, "The Philistines are upon you," and he woke up from his sleep and thought, "I'll go out as before and shake myself free." But he didn't know that the Lord had left him. Don't be deceived. Just because things appear to be going well doesn't mean you have God's approval. You may see success in your life, but if there is an area where God is pointing out issues, it is a sign of his kindness calling you to address them. Be cautious of the dangerous success that come when disobedience and success coexist. It's only for a season. God is saying, don't be deceived. I cannot be mocked. I'm calling you to deal with this. Whether you're looking at something on your phone or computer that you shouldn't be, or becoming emotionally attached to somebody at work, God is urging you to address these issues. We may still experience success, but remember, success and disobedience can coexist only for a season. Even when everything inside you wants to run, it is his kindness keeping you present. This is an opportunity to get things right with God. I refer to it as the embarrassing blessing of God. When he blesses me despite my shortcomings, it feels overwhelming to think that God will still show up for me when I haven't done what is right. I strongly feel there are some of you who have listened to this so far, whom God is nurturing you right here this morning. Don't hesitate. This is your moment to get right with him. Amen. And that's the worship team to come up, close up in the song, and stay here after the worship, this one worship song, please. And we're going to have a Father's Day blessing after this. I forgot to tell the worship team there they're doing an extra song. That's why they're so slow. And while the worship team are playing, those of you who need to repent, repent. Where you are, you don't have to come forward or stand up or anything. It's between you and God.
Is the God of Israel. Elders bound in worship as the angel voices swell. Fragrant clouds of incense swirl around your throne of grace. Lord, we bow in worship at the brilliance of your face. Holy, holy, holy is the song that heaven sings. All creation praise Him. Hallelujah, Elohim. Come to reign forever, King of kings and Lord of lords. Lift your head.
Father, there's blessing. I asked Pam to join me. She'd like to say something to the fathers and the church.
Just a reminder to all of us that there's only one perfect Father, and that's our Father in heaven. And as we've heard, leaders, fathers, all of us are imperfect. So in this life, we can never expect a perfect Father. But God created the family. He instituted the family as the first. I'll just read the comment. It says, the family as a basic and foundational unit in society, and he has assigned the father as the head of the family. He also promises his blessing on those who obey his commands. And his command, and Paul reminds us in Ephesians 6, verses 2 and 3, honor your father and mother. This is the first of the Ten Commandments that ends with a promise. And this is the promise. If you honor your father and mother, you will live a long life full of blessing. So God puts the father at the head of the house. But he tells us to honor the father. Not if he's perfect, but your father. And he promises blessing for that honoring. And I just encourage mums here, encourage your children to understand that honoring and respecting their fathers brings blessing in their lives. And show them by example how to honor their fathers. So that in the Christian community, it will be seen that the women show honor for their husbands and the children learn honor for their fathers, and that they carry through their whole lives understanding how authority works. You start something beautiful in their lives.
Now would all fathers stand up, please? Where you are, just stand up. Just like to pray a blessing over you from number 6. May the Lord bless you and protect you. May the Lord smile upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord show you his favor and give you his peace. Amen.
Amen.
Now, would you sit down? Would all the single men please stand up? Come on. Out of the single men, up you get. Come on, Brendan, you're single.
You're married.
Philip? Yeah, you may be single, but you know what? God has a plan and a purpose for ye as well. You know? And you know, ye have a greater opportunity because ye don't have the same commitments as married men to serve God and do things for God that married men can't do. You know? But use your time well, your study time well, your Bible readings well, and you know, and God will bless you in a mighty way. You know, some of the greatest missionaries that went across the world were single men, and they got married on the missionary journey. So, you know, God can do things supernaturally. You know, so once you commit yourself to Him. Okay, Lord, we ask you, bless all our single men. If it is our heart's desire to get married, Lord, we ask you to find partners for them, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Amen. And we'll do the similar for Mother's Day as well, Lord, when it comes up. Now, we got two big chocolate cakes over there, and they're full of calories, so women don't eat them. Leave it all for the men, you know. Okay, do join us for a cup of tea, and don't forget your tithes and offering and the card machine as well, please. Thank you all, and thank you for your coming.